This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
Hello, middle-level educators. Are you looking for a nationwide type of conference at the fraction of the cost? The North Carolina Association for Middle-Level Education welcomes you to Charlotte, North Carolina, March 24th through the 26th for the 2024 NCMLE Inspire Conference. My name is David James, NCMLE Marketing and Conference Director, and I want to personally invite you to our annual conference. You will not want to miss our keynote and featured speakers that lead over 100 middle-level specific teaching and learning sessions. Our featured lineup includes EDU experts from across the country, such as principal and leadership expert Baruti Kafele, Darren Peppard, LaQuanta Nelson, Zach Bauermaster, and the host of this podcast, Mr. Charles Williams. The NCMLE Inspire Conference is for everyone. Go to ncmle.org to register your team for the 2024 NCMLE Inspire Conference today.
Welcome to the Counter Narrative Podcast, a show designed to change the way we talk and think about education. By sharing stories of successes and triumphs, we aim to challenge the dominant narrative that often negatively portrays our disenfranchised populations. I'm your host, Charles Williams, an urban educator for more than 15 years, a current school principal in Chicago, an educational consultant, an equity advocate, and the co-host of Inside the Principal's Office. Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to the Counter Narrative Podcast. As always, thank you so much for rejoining me in this space. I hope that these sessions continue to add value and to bring you joy. And I know that this episode is going to be no different. And if this is your first time, this is your first episode, you've chosen a great one. I assure you, you would definitely want to stick around and check out some of the other episodes, because today I have an Edu all-star in this space, someone who I had the fortune of getting to connect with in person, albeit briefly, in Chicago this past November at the Innovative Schools Summit, but somebody who I've been able to share some spaces with. Our paths have connected through the people that we know, because it is a small world. So today I have the one and the only Dr. Don Parker. Don, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good. Charles, how are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. And I'm really looking forward to getting to know you a little bit better. You know, the different people that I have on the show, sometimes it's literally our first time connecting. Sometimes, like, we've shared some space like you and I have, but not really connected. And meanwhile, others, they're like, we're besties. And then we just have this whole conversation and we forget that people are actually listening. So I am looking forward to getting to know you a little better, to learning more about the work that you do. So why don't we kick it off there? Let the listeners know who you are. I know that you've made this transition from being in schools to the full-time speaking gigs. And so tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do.
All right, perfect. Thank you. Yep. Well, my name is Dr. Don Parker, and I started my career off as a Chicago public school teacher teaching PE, health, and driver's ed. And one thing that really got me to where I am now is, during my teaching career, I also taught health, because I had a minor health endorsement when I was in college. And when I was teaching health, it just taught me a lot about helping students make positive choices, making healthy choices, and, you know, problem solving, and just teaching them how to make decisions that will work out in their favor later on. And so that led to me being able to teach students social emotional learning and do this thing that I call authoritative counseling. And you've probably heard of that, because, you know, that's what a lot of social workers use as well when they're working with students who may be considered at risk, is we do authoritative counseling. So we can teach them more pro-social behaviors and how to make better decisions in the moment, so that they won't make those same mistakes that cause them to get in trouble. And so as I just developed a love for working with students who needed that social emotional learning support, because, you know, they kind of mirrored me when I was growing up. And so that led me to becoming eventually an assistant principal over culture and climate, and then assistant principal over curriculum instruction, and assistant principal of activity and athletics. And then finally, I became principal. And I appreciate all those steps along the way, because it just helped me fill my toolbox with a lot of skills that I needed in order to, one, be a great educational leader, but then also, two, learn how to just build relationships with students and other teachers and staff, you know, to motivate them to do what they needed to do in order to run a successful school. And so now, you know, I've stepping outside of the traditional education, you know, field, and now I am a full-time speaker, and my specialty is working with teachers to help them work with students who have trauma. And so I help teachers become more trauma-informed, and also work with principals to help them improve the culture and climate in their buildings. So that's just a little bit about me.
Man, I appreciate it. And, it, you know, obviously sitting here in Chicago, you know, the Chicago roots and all the work that we do here in CPS. So I appreciate, you know, you doing that work here and now taking that work and doing it all across the country and mm-hmm. working with teachers and administrators to address something so important within our schools, this idea of trauma-informed practices. And I think that's going to be one of the themes and that run throughout a few of these episodes, knowing who else is coming onto the space. But I think it's a testament just to how important this work is at this time, you know, in this educational field. So with that in mind, like, what do you want to talk about today, right? The whole point of the show is to say, you know what, let's challenge the narrative. Let's look at something in a different way. Let's push back on something that may not be entirely true. So what do you want to talk about today?
You know what? Okay, so let's talk about this. We spoke about trauma-informed education and the need for teachers to be more trauma-informed. And, you know, let's talk about the things that are affected by teachers not being trauma-informed. So we know that teacher attrition is a huge problem right now. And even when you look at colleges and universities, they look at the numbers of, you know, students who are pursuing careers in education, there's a steep decline in the number of students who are pursuing a career in education. All right. And a lot of teachers are leaving the profession as well because they may not be trauma informed and they may not have the skills in order to help students build their social emotional learning or teach mutual respect or teach students pro-social behaviors. And in addition to that, there's a lot of other things happening in education where teachers are overwhelmed, stressed out, overworked, underpaid, and they're leaving the profession. So when I started teaching, like from year 1 through 10, you know, the newcomer teachers, they would leave corporate and they would come into the teaching field. Now that trend is reversed, whereas teachers are now leaving education and looking for other jobs that they can do outside of education, maybe join corporate or become entrepreneurs or, you know, just do something different outside of education. So let's talk about that for a while. Let's talk about, you know, teacher attrition and how much teachers would be better served being trauma-informed and having more of an equity lens when it comes to working with students.
So, you know, Don, I think you're hitting on a great point. I oftentimes hear people who say, look, I'm there to teach. My job is to teach. And I agree that most people who've gone through your traditional teaching programs, your teacher prep spaces, you know, they did not come out with the skills and the tools needed to be counselors and social workers and to do that work. But the reality is that in many of our schools, and I don't want to just say the, you know, the urban, the high poverty, those types of spaces. Yes, trauma is prevalent in those spaces. But the reality is trauma exists within all of our spaces. It may mm-hmm. look a little bit different from space to space, but we exist in a world where our students are coming to school carrying with them loads of trauma. And mm-hmm. if we're not attuned to that, if we don't we can't recognize it. We cannot address it. We cannot help them navigate those spaces. And instead, we try to pretend like everything's okay, right? And just teach. We're going to be sorely mistaken, because we're not going to get very far. And then you're right, right? Then I don't know how to navigate. I don't know how to deal with that stuff. It becomes overwhelming. You know what? Forget this. Let me go sit in a cubicle where I can do my work and not have to deal with anyone else, right? Because it's a little bit easier. So, I mean, right. why do you think that is? Like, I mean, this is the case. And yet, as you said, these newcomers are coming in through these teacher prep programs, and it doesn't seem to be much different than maybe what you and I learned when we went through these programs, you know, 10 plus years ago.
Okay. So a lot of teachers do have that mentality that, you know, I'm a content teacher. I'm here to teach math. I'm here to teach science. I'm here to teach ELA, whatever the case. And I tell teachers all the time, if you think that you can just show up to work and just teach content and not become better at helping students with their social emotional learning, I said, that's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. You might as well consider yourself DOA, because that means you're not going to have mutual respect in your classroom. You're not going to have good classroom management. You're not going to have good student engagement, right? Because the research clearly says that teachers who have good relationships with their students, number one, they experience 80% less anxiety, because they know if any disruption or, you know, classroom management issue breaks out in their class, they can leverage the relationship that they have with their students in order to get things back on track quickly, as opposed to panicking because they're worried about losing control of their class. And number two, research also clearly says that when teachers have strong relationships with their students, that students also perform, persevere on assignments more readily, and are more engaged in school and in that teacher's class. So developing that relationship, helping students with their social emotional learning, let students know that you care about them, you know, it goes a long way in helping teachers be successful.
So if we know this, Don, right, because we haven't, this isn't new, this idea of building relationships, right? And we recognize that. I've oftentimes heard, and I'm sure you've heard, right, kids learn from people they like. And I think when we say that, people are like, oh, well, let me build friendships. Let me get them to like me. And I always push back. It's not so much about them liking you, but you're creating a safe space, a space where I feel comfortable taking risks, a space where I know that I'm going to be supported, right? As you mentioned earlier, that God forbid something happened in the classroom, I know that things are going to be okay, right? So it's a space that is conducive to learning. Mm-hmm. And yet this is not new. This conversation has happened, you know, over and over and over again, right? It has been said ad nauseum at this point. And yet here we are having the same conversation, because you and I have both encountered educators who are like, look, I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to build relationships. I'm here to teach. Like, why do you think there's such a hesitation or a pushback on this concept?
Well, okay. So in my first book, Building Bridges, Engaging Students at Risk Through the Power of Relationships, I talk exactly about this, as far as why aren't more teachers seeing the importance of building relationships. And here's the thing. Here's the caveat. Teachers do see it. However, they may not know how to build those relationships. Mm. They know that relationships are important, but they may not have the skills, or they may not know how to use their personality, be authentic in order to build real relationships with their students. And then a lot of teachers know exactly what they need to do in order to build relationships with their students. So put it like this. Here's an analogy. All right. It's the beginning of the year. People have set fitness goals that I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to exercise regularly. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to get enough sleep. I'm going to practice self-care. I'm going to be a better person in 2024. And they know exactly what they need to do in order to get in shape, right? So, Charles, you know what you need to do in order to stay healthy. You got to exercise, eat right, get enough rest, you know, and practice self-care, okay? We know what it looks like. We know what it takes. But here's the problem, all right? People want what it looks like in order to be healthy, but they don't want what it feels like in order to be healthy, okay? Mm. They don't want to get exhausted from being at the gym, all right? They don't want to, you know, sacrifice eating some of the things that they shouldn't eat. All right. So when it comes to relationships, we know what to do to build relationships. We got to greet students. We have to ask them questions. We have to engage them. We have to maybe sacrifice a plan in each lunch with the student, maybe do a home visit. But guess what? All those things take work. So teachers want what it looks like to have mutual respect with students. However, they don't want what it feels like in order to establish it. So I think that's what it is.
Man, I think that's powerful, and I love that. They want what it looks like, but they don't want what it feels like, right? I want the end results, but I don't want to go through the process. And for any of you listeners, when Don's talking about staying in shape, just pop onto his social media. You could see that this man definitely is committed to that work. I'm like, man, Don, man, you're in there doing your thing.
Former PE teacher. I always told my students that I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do. And I want to role model fitness and health. So if I talk the talk, I got to walk the walk. And the same thing comes to being a leader in schools. You know, I wouldn't ask my staff to do anything I wasn't willing to do. And same thing when it comes to building relationships with students. I'm not giving anybody advice or evidence-based strategies that I haven't tried.
So let's try to connect this piece, right? Earlier you talked about being trauma-informed. And my good friend Joe Brummer talks about this idea of there's a lot of spaces, a lot of people who like to say that they're trauma informed, but in reality, they're trauma inducing, mm-hmm. right? Not recognizing the work that they're doing sometimes perpetuates the issues that they're trying to address. And so we're talking about being trauma informed, and we're talking about building relationships and the value that these two things have, you know, within our school spaces. So can you walk me through a little bit about what does that mean then? To be trauma-informed, and how might that look within the work that we're doing?
All right, so what it means to be trauma-informed is it does kind of start with building that relationship with the students so you can know what's going on in that student's life, all right? And a lot of educators, when they're not trauma-informed, when a student may be suffering a crisis or when a student may lose their temper or have, you know, a breakdown or something like that, then the teacher may view that action or that behavior from the student as this student is being disrespectful. This student doesn't have any anger management skills, not understanding that it's trauma. And so a lot of teachers may look at that student and be like, man, what's wrong with that student? But what trauma-informed education teaches us is that we have to stop asking what's wrong with the student. We have to ask what happened to the student. Mm-hmm. And then when we realize what happened to the student, we understand the trauma that that student has gone through. Then we can start to understand, okay, this is why this behavior is taking place. All right, this is what we have to do to de-escalate the student, as opposed to viewing it as disrespect and then giving the student a punitive consequence and then wondering why the student comes to school 3 days later after their suspension and does the exact same thing. It's because that punitive measure haven't solved the problem. You haven't worked through the issue with the student. We haven't given the student proper social emotional learning supports or proper interventions or proper coping skills. When you're trauma informed, you know how to attach the correct interventions, the correct coping skills, and teach those pro-social behaviors that students need in order to better cope and reduce that trauma and those behaviors that's induced by trauma.
I think that's a powerful statement, what you were saying. There's not like what's going on with this kid? Like, why are they behaving the way they are? It's asking like what happened to them, right? And mm-hmm. recognizing that. And in fact, I was just recently connecting with an educator. Her name's Rachel, who's rolling out these new strategies. And one of them, and so Rachel, I'm going to launch this thing a little early. So just so you know, but it talks about like thought, action, impact. Right. And so asking like, well, what was the person thinking, which drove the action, which then had, you know, a certain outcome or a certain impact. And I think what's powerful there, especially because as I was talking to her, I said, I would love for my staff to engage in this practice a lot more when a student, right, has a certain action within a classroom. And obviously there's an impact to the space in which they're in. Of trying to better understand, not just looking at the action and the impact, right? Those are things that we see, those are the things that we feel, but pausing for a second and asking, what was the driving force behind that? What was the motivation? What was the student thinking or feeling at the time mm-hmm. that drove that action? Instead of taking it personally, instead of just saying, what is wrong with this kid, right? Taking that moment and saying, oh, wait a minute, right? Maybe they didn't sleep at home last night. They were not at home last night. Maybe they were in a car or somewhere, right? Did they eat? Whatever it might have been that is driving that. And then, like you said, instead of punishing the outcome, let's address that root, right? So that way we're actually changing behavior. And I think that that's a powerful shift, even in our own mindsets and practices.
You're exactly right. And those questions, you know, that Rachel posed, all right, that's similar to restorative practices. And in restorative practices, when a student causes harm in the environment, we ask the student, hey, what were you thinking at the time? How have your actions affected other people? Okay, what do you think needs to happen? What can you do to make things right? Okay, it's the same kind of line of thinking and questioning that we can ask the student in order to let them, this is where authoritative counseling comes in. Authoritative counseling, what it does is, this is how teachers can learn how to teach behavior, all right? So just like if I'm a math teacher and the student has to do an equation on the board, but they make a misstep during that equation, which leads them to getting the wrong answer. And so a teacher will go back and say, you know, here's where the mistake was made. If you correct this mistake, then you'll get the correct answer. It's the same thing when we do authoritative counseling when we're teaching behavior. We take the child through the scenario. Okay, this is what's going. This is exactly what happened when you lost your temper. What would have happened? What could you have done different? Okay, well, maybe I could have took 10 deep breaths. Or maybe I could have asked the teacher if I could be removed from the classroom to go speak to my dean or speak to my social worker. Or maybe I could have just calmed myself down in a moment. And then I wouldn't have blew up like that. I wouldn't have cursed the teacher out and I wouldn't have escalated the situation. And I wouldn't be here getting in trouble right now. You're exactly right. You teach the student in how to make a different choice in order to have a different outcome. And so teaching behavior is not as complicated as a lot of people think it is.
So Don, what for somebody who's listening to this and they're like, I hear you, right? But you know, you haven't been in a classroom, you don't know what it's like, right? You're now an administrator, right? Stepping into that kind of that teacher pushback space to say, I hear what you're saying, it sounds great, but when you're in this classroom, when these things are happening, it's not that easy. So if I'm a listener right now, maybe I'm shaking my head saying, yeah, Charles, you're right. What would you say to them? What is something that they can do within their classrooms to give it a try, to give it a shot, to say, hey, look, right, here's a simple step that you can take to begin transforming your own space.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I will let them know. I spent years in the classroom as a classroom teacher, and I still spend time in classrooms as I consult with other schools. And so I love coaching teachers and helping them, you know, look at different scenarios and reflecting, because I don't think that teachers will so much learn and grow as a result of me telling them what to do. But I think just teachers, just like humans, we learn and grow from reflection and then questioning our own decisions and saying, what could we have done? You know, that probably would have been a better decision. And so I would take teachers through the scenario. Okay, first, you have to find out exactly what the issue is. Let the teacher say what they feel the issue is. Then ask the teacher, what have your practices been in the past? Have they been successful or have you not get the outcomes that you're looking at? Okay, so what different approach can we take? And then I would let them say some methods or interventions or things that they feel they would be good at doing or things that would help them in a scenario, whatever scenario that they find themselves in. And then just kind of coach them through that process. So it's not me just giving them a correct answer, but it's us working together to help them grow in that space.
Don, I appreciate that. I agree with you. I think that idea of, I really like that question, like, what are your current practices and are you getting the outcomes that you want? And I think that's a simple thing, because so oftentimes it's like, well, no, I'm not getting the outcomes. Like, well, then why are you still doing the same things, right? Like, mm-hmm. let's change that up a little bit. So I think those are some smart steps.
And one other thing, some teachers can push back and say that, you know what, you say it's like as a consultant or as an educational speaker, as a professional development provider, I'm looking at things through rose-colored glasses, okay? And I think that we could just give teachers strategies to use and that everything is going to be perfect. No, you know what? I never take that approach. So some teachers can be skeptics when I talk about building relationships with students. Now, to be honest with you, as a result of teachers experiencing my professional development, they walk away feeling empowered. And so I don't really get that kickback that you talk about. However, for the teachers who may be skeptics, all right, I tell them, one of the best things that you can do, all right, in order to learn some great classroom practices and some relationship building practices, I tell them, observe gap closing teachers and wonder why I can have this student in my class and he's a Tasmanian devil, but yet when he's in Mr. Williams' class, this kid is an angel. Why? Because Mr. Williams has done the thing to create a safe classroom learning environment and build a relationship with students. And he's become what we can call a warm demander, where he understands the importance of supporting students with their social emotional learning, but still holding students accountable for doing academics and reaching those standards that they're supposed to meet and getting their work done. And so we have to, you know, set up spaces and opportunities for teachers to observe other high-level teachers who are distinguished and really experts at what they do, so they don't think it's impossible. And what they can do is also learn from these teachers.
I always love that piece when someone's like, well, is so-and-so that way in your class? And they're like, no, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, let's explore that a little more, right? There's clearly something different happening there. And, you know, there are so many different dynamics, but it's worth exploring. It's worth seeing, you know, getting out of your classroom, getting out of your island and your silo and seeing what else is happening out there. Don, I appreciate you. As we get ready to close this out, earlier you referenced your book. So I want to give you a moment to go ahead and do a plug there, talk a little bit about, you know, the book that you have out, and then let the listeners know, how can they find you? How can they connect with you?
All right, perfect. So yes, my first book is Building Bridges, Engaging Students at Risk Through the Power of Relationships. And my latest book that was just published 2 months ago is Be the Driving Force, Leading Your School on the Road to Equity. And so the first book has a lot to do with the teacher-student relationship and building relationships with students. And the second book is more of a book for school leaders to teach them how to promote and advance and advocate for equity in their schools. And so the second book is an analogy that has to do with the car, or has something to do with driving. So all throughout the book, I make an analogy of something that has to do with driving a car and is connected to a school leadership principle. All right. And so if you're looking for that book is also published by Solution Tree, in which my first book was also published by Solution Tree. So you can go to solutiontree.com. And you can just do a search by author's name and look for Don Parker. Or you can go to my website. Here's another way you can get in touch with me. My website is drdonparker.com. And on my website, I have links to where you can purchase my book. You can also look at the different PDs that I offer. And if you're having a problem that you feel that I can help you solve, on my website, there's a contact me now or book Dr. Parker. And they can reach out to me. And that inquiry comes straight to my email. And I follow up within 24 to 48 hours, because really that's what I want to do, Charles. I want to help educators help students. And I'm in the business of solving problems. So if there's issues that your school is facing that you feel like the kind of PD that I offer solves, feel free to reach out to me. I'll be glad to come help you out.
Well, there you go. And I know that if you reach out to Dr. Parker, you will not be disappointed. I'm fortunate enough to now know, like, yet another Solution Tree author. People who work in that space, and I can tell you that they have a high bar, a high standard. And so anybody who is fortunate enough to get to do some work with that organization, you know that they're going to bring value to your space. So Don, I just want to say, you know, first of all, thank you, obviously, for taking some time out of your busy schedule and hopping on the show here with me. But also, thank you for just doing this work. You know, we oftentimes talk about, you know, in these edu spaces, just paving the way for one another. You know, we stand on the shoulders of one another. And so I just want to say thank you for doing this work. It is much needed. It is valued. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, first of all, thank you. I appreciate that. And also, let me thank you as well, Charles, because you are doing a great job bringing people together and helping people connect, you know, and develop relationships and connect people who can help each other in this business so we can all help children. So thank you as well.
Not a problem, sir. That is what it is all about. I'm sure that our paths will connect soon. So until we meet again, thanks for joining.
All right. Have a great one.
I want to thank you for listening to the Counter Narrative Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please be sure to like, subscribe, and of course, share it with friends and family. I'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show, so please leave a comment or two as well. Now, I'm not sure what platform you're using, but the show can be found on Anchor, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and plenty of other platforms. If the show isn't on your preferred site, let me know, and I'll be sure to get it up and running. This podcast is also featured on schoolrubric.com, where you can find educational articles, videos, and interviews with educators from around the globe. Be sure to connect with me and other listeners by following the show on Twitter at the CN Podcast and joining the show's Facebook group. Take care.